a gentleman who was out shopping in early December one evening, and he came to a department store, and it had one of those the train sets set up, you know, above up towards the ceiling, and it just kind of goes around the entire building. And this man walked in, and he was just infatuated with this train system. He was just watching it go through all these tunnels and through the little villages and across the switches and under those things that dump items into the train cars, I guess you call them. He was just so excited about this. And he went and he found the manager. He said, "Sir, I need that train set. I need that. That'll be perfect." And the manager at the store said, "Yes, sir, I'll wrap it up right now. Your son is going to love this train set." And the man thought about it for a moment. He said, "Well, you better get me two." We all enjoy presents, don't we? Even as gracious and scrupulous as I can get this time of the year because of the commercialization of Christmas, I still like to give and receive presents. There's something about it that it feels good to know that you're giving somebody something that they need or want. It's also good to receive things, to know that people care about you. And today I want to look at a gift that was given about 2,000 years ago, like Mike was talking about earlier with the kids. I want to talk about this gift that was given on the first Christmas, this gift of Jesus Christ, this gift that was given to all of the world. And I want to look at these two people that we have this interaction with this morning, Simeon and Anna. And I want to see how they were able to receive this gift. Even though it might not have been exactly what they were expecting, they were able to receive this gift, they were able to celebrate its coming, and they were able to share that gift with all those they came in contact with. So let's jump right into the scripture that Marvin read for us a few minutes ago. Let's learn about these two characters. Well, our scripture begins for this morning with Joseph and Mary taking newborn son, Jesus, to the temple to be dedicated. And this is kind of like this practice that we have in the church today where we bring babies to the church and when we pray over them and dedicate them to the Lord. It's similar to that, quite exactly the same thing, but it's like that. So they're bringing this baby up to the temple and they're promising to raise him in a way that is pleasing unto God. And a part of this ritual for them is to make a sacrifice in the name of the child, to God. Now, if we look at our scripture, we find that they gave a sacrifice of either two turtle doves or two pigeons. And if we look at the sacrifice that they made, we can see that they are not rich people. If they had money, they would have given something larger, like a sheep or a goat or a ram, even an oxen, I guess, you could pull in there and sacrifice it to God. The size of your offering kind of led people to understand how rich you were, how important you were to society. But all Mary and Joseph could afford were two dirty birds, two rats with wings, two wasted animals that were not good for anything else. So they were poor. They didn't have anything. And everybody could see that they were poor people. They could see that they didn't bring a large animal in with them. All they had were these two dirty birds. Now that same day at the temple, there was a man by the name of Simeon. And Simeon had received this message, and we have no idea how long ago he had received this message, but he got this message from the Lord that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And on that day when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple, Simeon received a message from God that the baby would be there, the Messiah would be at the temple. So he goes to this place, and he comes across this baby, and this family, they have nothing. They're so poor that they're sacrificing these birds. And he immediately recognizes this as the Lord's Messiah. He scoops them up into his hands, and he looks at the child, and he gives God praise for what God has done for them. If we look at our scripture in verses 29 through 32, we have Simeon's praise to God. He says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel." Simeon looked at this child, and he knew immediately that this was the Messiah. And I think this kind of shows us this upside-down nature of Jesus' kingdom. Jesus didn't come into the world with all his pomp and circumstance. He didn't come in with the horns blasting and the people waving flags as he entered into the temple that first day. He didn't get a lot of attention, but he came in with his poor family as they sacrificed the bare minimum, these two dirty birds. Now, I don't think this is what Simeon was expecting when he thought he would go see the Lord's Messiah. I doubt that he thought it was going to be this lowly family, this poor family, the family that really wasn't even married yet. Joseph and Mary still were not married yet. But this is what he found, and he recognized it right away. This was the Lord's Messiah. Now, what is it that Simeon was expecting from this child? What was it that he expected to come from Jesus? I think this is kind of a difficult question for us sometimes because, you know, here we are living 2,000 years later, and it's kind of hard for us to understand the context in which they were living. But if we look at the scripture, it tells us that Simeon was expecting the Lord's Messiah to be the one who would console Israel. He would comfort them, bring them peace. Remember that Israel was currently, again, under occupation of another nation. This time the Romans had come in. They had taken over the town of Jerusalem. They were flexing their muscles and forcing the Israelites to do things that they didn't want to do. They were there oppressing them, taking away possessions from them, taking away their money, taking away their homes, making them carry their packs miles for them, 1 mile, I guess, at a time. So this wasn't a time that the Israelites were just excited about. They weren't happy. They were disappointed with the way things were going in their lives. And it looks like when we read the scripture that this is what Simeon was expecting. He was expecting a Messiah that would come in who would free his people. We read that Simeon thought, as he held this child in his hand, that he was his salvation. And I think it would be wrong if we read back into this our current day understanding of what salvation is. I don't think Simeon was looking at Jesus and saying, "You will one day save my soul from hell." But he was thinking more along the lines that this child will save us much like Moses led the people out of Egypt. This was his understanding of salvation. He was probably expecting Jesus Christ to grow to be a Messiah, to be a strong military leader that would free his people from the Roman occupation. But I don't think it really matters so much what Simeon's expectations were of the Messiah. What I really want to focus on this morning is that when he saw the Messiah, he knew that this was indeed the one that God had promised. This was indeed the one that God had sent to him and all the people. But now, Simeon wasn't the only person at the temple that day, was he? It's a busy place. But in the temple that morning, we find another person, this one by the name of Anna. Anna was a prophetess, and she had spent a lot of her life there at the temple, worshiping God, praying to Him, serving Him in various ways, fasting. Now, it tells us that Anna had been there at the temple since her husband died. It was common in those days to get married at about, 13 years of age? When a woman becomes a full-grown woman, right? Nice and mature at 13 years of age, she was probably married, and then 7 years later, her husband would have died, which makes her 20 years old. And she is now 84 years old. So she had been at the temple for the last 64 years, waiting for this Messiah to come, praying to God, worshiping God. And that's a lot of waiting. And when that baby comes to her, she too sees it, and she knows that this is the one that God had promised to send. This was the Messiah. This was the one they had been waiting for. Again, we don't quite know what Anna was expecting of the Messiah. We don't know what Simeon was expecting of the Messiah. But we know that when she saw him, she knew that this was him. I'm going to take a little turn here and wake you up a little bit. I know it's Sunday. And with that long weekend, it was Christmas. And I want to ask you, how was your Christmas? You're in the front row, Carrie. How was your Christmas with Grandpa Z?
He's still waiting.
Lowell, how was your Christmas?
Mine's over.
Yours is over. But it was good? being about Carrie's age. Your third grade?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being about third grade and my expectations of Christmas. I just got so excited when it was coming up. And you probably still have this excitement, Jonah, because you have not celebrated Christmas yet, right? Still looking forward to what? What is it that we're looking forward to? What about Christmas? The gifts. Ah, good. We look forward to the gifts that come with Christmas, don't we? I remember it being about her age, and I remember months before Christmas planning out what I wanted for Christmas. I remember going with my mom to the stores and pointing out to her things that I wanted to have. I wanted to have that certain video game. I wanted to have a certain Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figure. And you remember those, right? I came up with these in the 1990s, so you can kind of understand that. I wanted these specific things, and I make sure to point out to my mom what it was that I wanted. So as we were anticipating the coming of Christmas, we would always cut those loops of construction paper and make chains. Did you do that too? And then every day, as we got closer and closer to Christmas, we would tear one off. And you could visualize the way Christmas was coming. Anticipation was building. We were getting excited about that big day. And when we finally tore off that last loop, it meant it was Christmas Day. It meant that it was time to open presents. And I remember getting excited because sometimes I would get the things that I really wanted. I might get that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figure, and I might be excited to go and tell my friends about what I had received. I would want to share with everybody the good news that I had received that day. It was a good time. It was fun to be a child on Christmas Day. But I also remember some Christmases that I didn't get the things that I wanted, the things that I anticipated. Anybody else here ever get socks for Christmas? White socks, packs of six. 12 socks altogether. That should be 12 presents, right? Not exactly what an 8, 9, or 10-year-old boy was really excited about receiving on Christmas. Sometimes I didn't get the things that I was expecting. Sometimes I didn't get the things that I was anticipating. And sometimes I even got the wrong gifts. I mean, probably all gotten pants that were the wrong size. My grandmother used to start Christmas shopping on probably December 26th for the next year. So when she went out and bought an 8-year-old a pair of pants, guess what? Come Christmas time, those pants didn't fit too good. I had grown in that year. We probably all wanted a certain sweater, a red sweater, and we got a blue one instead. We probably all wanted a certain video game and got a board game instead because sometimes people just, we don't get what we expect. And sometimes I even remember times whenever I would get somebody else's present for Christmas. Did this ever happen to you? I remember my little brother went out one time shopping with my mom, and he picked out a specific wallet that he wanted for Christmas. On Christmas morning, I opened up a gift, and I didn't recognize it, and it was a wallet. And my mom looked at me, she said with a look on her face, she said, "Is this the right one?" "Yeah, Mom." "I don't know what you're talking about. I still have the same wallet I had before that. But thank you. I appreciate it." My dad still tells the story about the time when one of us boys had purchased a shirt for him. And you write on the package, you write, what, "To Dad." You don't write his first name, that's your father. That'd be disrespectful. So I wrote, "To Dad" on the present. And as my mother was distributing presents on Christmas Day, "To Dad" went to her dad. My grandpa loves that shirt. He wears it quite often. We sometimes get presents that we weren't anticipating. We sometimes get the wrong gifts. Gifts that don't fit us right. Gifts that don't seem to fit our persona. But the difference between these gifts and the gifts that were received by Anna and Simeon that first Christmas day is regardless of what they were expecting, that gift was the right gift. And that's my central point for this morning. If you get nothing else from today, I want you to remember that. I want to go and read it one time. In the beginning where it says, "Regardless." Regardless of what we are expecting, Jesus was and is the right gift. I don't know what Anna and Simeon were expecting when Jesus came that day in the form of this poor baby. But like I said, I believe they thought he was going to be a military power, leading the people to revolt against the Romans, to fight them to the death. But instead, they got the Prince of Peace. The complete opposite of what they were expecting. And even though they might have been expecting something else, I think we will all agree that that present that day was the right present for them and the right present for us today. Now I want to go back to our scripture for this morning just a second, and we see this other character, Anna. And Anna doesn't get nearly any attention that Simeon does. She only gets a few verses in this scripture. But Anna is here at the temple worshiping God. And Jesus comes to her. Well, he doesn't come on his own. He's only 8 days old. Jesus is brought to her. And first thing that she does is she celebrates, doesn't she? She celebrates the coming of the present that she has been expecting for years. This one that she has been worshiping for the last 64 years there in the temple has finally come. This long-awaited child of hope. So she celebrates. And then what is the next thing that she does? She goes from there and she tells other people that this thing that they've been expecting, this one that would redeem Jerusalem, has now come. So I want to add this to my point as a sub-point. Regardless of what we are expecting, Jesus was and is the right gift. And this is a reason to get excited, and this is something for us to share. Now this past Sunday, a week ago today, a friend of mine from seminary gave me a call. He wanted to go out and watch a football game somewhere at a restaurant. He's going the Amish route as well. He does not have a TV like we don't have a TV. So he had to go somewhere else to watch TV if we wanted to watch a football game. So we went out to Applebee's, I believe, and we had a good time, enjoyed our meal. And when we get together, he and I and Sonia and his spouse, we always talk about things about, you know, theology. This is important to us. We discuss the books that we're reading or have read. We discuss popular theology that we see on TV or hear on the radio. And we spent most of the time during this football game discussing what we see wrong with other people's writings and theology, what we see wrong in the world today, what we see wrong with televangelists and certain authors. And later that evening when we went back home, Sonia said to me, you know, you guys sure do talk about a lot of negative things. All you do is complain about what is wrong and what people believe that's different from what you believe. We're just filled with negativity. And I don't know what kind of percentage of positive things versus what percentage of negative things we discuss, but I'm sure that the things that we discussed were much more leaning towards the negativity side of things. Now here we are. It was only 4 days away from the most wonderful time of the year. You can hear those words sung out. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And all we can talk about is bad stuff. All we can do is complain about the status of the world and the status of theology and why John Hagee is so wrong and why Benny Hinn is misdirected and what is wrong with us. This is a time to celebrate. Now don't get me wrong, I don't view the world through rose-colored glasses. I know there's a lot wrong with our world. We could go right down the laundry list of things like the war in Iraq and genocide and poverty and the current economic situation that we're in. I know the world is wrong. There's a lot wrong with the world, I should say. And I don't begin to believe or agree with everything that I hear as far as popular theology on the radio or on television or in books. There's a lot of discrepancies between what I believe and what I hear other people talking about. But here we are at Christmas. We have been given the gift of salvation. Our salvation has come. And we should be like Simeon and Anna. We should look this salvation in the eye. And we should celebrate. We should be excited about this. So why do we get so bogged down in the negativity? Why do we get caught up in these small things? And just complain about what we see in other people? Now, I think it's very true that me and maybe like a John Hagee or Benny Hinn are looking at Jesus Christ differently. And we are both expecting different things from this Jesus Christ fella. But regardless of what we are expecting, this is the right solution to the problem. There are a lot of things wrong with the world. There's a lot of sickness and poorness and poverty and oppression. But we have the antidote to what is making this world sick. It is a time to celebrate. It's a time to rejoice. It is a time to share that good news with all we come in contact with. So how do we apply this to our lives? Do we put on a fake smile and just walk around and say, hey, we're just too blessed to be stressed? I don't think that's the way we do it. We need to recognize that, yes, there are things wrong with the world. We need to recognize that, yes, there are a lot of problems in society. But like I said, we have the solution to that problem. Now, about two weeks ago yesterday, I received an early Christmas present. A Christmas present that I didn't expect at all. A Christmas present that came in a form that I wouldn't have anticipated. Kind of like what Anna and Simeon experienced that first Christmas. It came in the form of a poor person. A person that I wouldn't have expected to receive anything from. A woman came to the church. We sat over there in the fellowship hall. And what she came for, she came to ask for money. She needed financial assistance. And I had to think about this a lot during our Sunday school conversation. But she wanted help. And she, you know, normally what would my first response be? I'll pick it up on the bed, I promise. My first response would be, take the money. Go. Get out of here. Don't come back for another 6 months. God bless you. That would have been my first response. But I said, you know what? Let's take some time. Spend with this woman. Get to know her. Love her in the way Jesus would have loved her. So we sat down and she talked to me for about an hour. She told me about her problems that she's had, all the things that she's had to live through. She told me that her and her husband are now living in their car, and they have been for the last 8 months. She told me that all she really wanted was some gas money so that they could afford to run the car a little bit so they could have some heat when it got cold. And as I listened to her story, you know, I asked some questions too, make sure she knew I was listening. And I said, well, do you have any family in this area? Is there anybody you can go to that could help you out with a place to live? And she said, well, we did live for a while with my daughter in Verona. But she kicked us out. She said, young people just don't want to put up with us old people. She has two children and two siblings within about a 15-mile radius of this church. And none of them will put her up. They live in their car. If my parents were in need, if my parents needed help, you better believe I would open up my home to them. I don't care how big of an inconvenience it was to me. I have a spare bed. They could use that for as long as they needed to get back on their feet, or longer if they chose to. If any of you were in that same situation, I would open up my home to you. And as a Christian, you better believe I was tempted to tell that woman, why don't you just come stay with us? And I probably should have, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I wanted to give that woman more than just some cash and coin to throw it at her and tell her to go away and come back later. So we sat down and we just talked. She cried. She cried a lot. It was really hard for her, I think, just to tell her story, to share that with somebody else. It was really hard to hear it as well. But I think that our time together gave her some kind of hope. Some kind of hope in other people. Hope that there are good people yet. Not that I'm perfect. But she knows that somebody cared about her. If only for that hour, somebody cared about this woman that's living in her car. Somebody showed her the love that she deserves. Somebody treated her as a human being. So I see for a few of the things that I believe Jesus would have asked us to give to another person. And I gave her a little bit of money as well. And I told her why I do that, why I give of myself, why I give of my time. I told her, this is a manifestation of my faith. This is a manifestation of who I believe Jesus Christ is calling us to be. And I told her that when I do these things, that I believe that I'm doing them to Christ. So the gift that came to me 2 weeks ago was not a gift that I was expecting, but it was a gift that was right for me. And it came in the form of a poor person, a person that the rest of society would have looked down upon and neglected. somebody whose society had looked down upon and neglected. And it was exactly right for me. Because that day, 2 weeks ago, I spent an hour over there with Jesus Christ. Not literally, but I know the Spirit was there with us. So we are just finishing up the most wonderful time of the year. And it is a time to be merry. It is a time to be full of joy. But not because the world is perfect, not because there's no problems with our society, but because we have the solution to those problems. We have a Lord and Savior who cares about us, who loves us, who came to console His people and to save them as well. Now, it's very possible that I might not fully understand that person, that gift that was given to us. It's possible that you don't fully understand that gift that was given to us. I say we will never fully understand that gift that was given to us until we meet Him face to face. But that's not the point. The point is that gift was the right one for you. It was the right one for me. It was the right one for all of the world. So we as redeemed people must celebrate this time of year because we are children of God. Because we do have this gift that is right for us. I mean, we must be like this prophet Anna. And we must celebrate and share that good news with all we come in contact with. Will you please join me for prayer? Gracious and loving God, we just humble ourselves before You today, recognizing that we do not fully understand You, and we probably don't fully understand this gift that's been given to us. But Lord, we know that this gift was right. It was right 2,000 years ago, and it's right today. Help us, Lord, to rejoice, to celebrate that we have received this gift. And help us to go from this place sharing that gift, the gift of the good news, to all we come in contact with. We praise You, Lord. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.